Our topic, as Don mentioned this morning, is courage. And we're going to be using an experience in the life of the yet-to-be King of Israel, David, as our launching pad. And since we're in the Old Testament, perhaps you've heard the following story told from the Jewish perspective, and it's a joke. So, Jim, at the end of it, will you make sure you laugh, at least one person laugh, okay? So it always makes me feel better after a joke comes along if people laugh. Well, Eliezer appeared at the gates of heaven. He died and knocked for admittance. The great doors slowly swung open, and Patriarch Abraham stepped out blowing his golden trumpet. He turned to Eliezer and said, "Greetings, blood of my blood and flesh of my flesh. God awaits you. Father Abraham, I am ready to meet our God." "Wait, my brother," said Abraham. "Before entering God's kingdom, you must first prove that you are worthy of the honor." "Fair enough. How can I prove my worthiness?" "You must show that at least once in your life, you displayed outstanding courage. Can you recall one unquestionably brave deed?" Eliezer's face brightened and he said, "Yes, I can. I remember going to the Roman consul's palace where I met him face to face. He was surrounded by legionnaires, all of whom were armed. Ignoring this fact, I told him that he was a camel's behind, that he was a vulture who fed upon the bones of Jerusalem's oppressed, and that he was a persecutor of humble Jews. I then spat in his face." "Well, I am impressed," said Abraham. "I must agree that that was an extremely brave feat to perform, considering the armed guards and the Roman consul's hatred of the Jews. Yes, my brother, you have certainly earned admittance into paradise. But please tell me, when did all this happen?" "Oh," said Eliezer casually, "just a few minutes ago." Or maybe you've heard the one about the philosophy student. You probably heard that one, who went into his final exam, and on the piece of paper, like a three-hour exam scheduled, and on the top of the paper was, "Write your..." What is courage? That was the assignment. An essay, write an essay answering the question, "What is courage?" So he went back to his seat, and thought for a few moments, and wrote down, "This is," and turned his paper in. What would you do? What kind of grade would you give that person, Joe? Okay. If you have your Pew Bible and want to follow along with me, it's 1 Samuel 30, a brief little part of a vignette in the life of King David. He is not yet king. He has been on the run, having skirmish after skirmish. And here we have a low point in this narrative of David. It's on the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. It's on page 261 of the Old Testament portion of the Pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. "Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negeb and on Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag, burned it down, and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed none of them, but carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, they found it burned down and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's wives had also been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You ever feel like things collude to transpire against you? Like you can't get a break? Like if something can go wrong, it will. That's probably about what David felt right now. David, soon to be the king of Israel, has come to one of the most bitter hours in all his experience. He and his small army have just finished a most fruitless journey. They have been on what we would today call a wild goose chase. And as they have returned from this wearisome journey, discouraged, disheartened, dispirited, dejected, the only thing that kept them marching at all was the thought that they were going home. But alas, when they reach their homes, they find them only a mass of smoking ruins. During their absence, the Amalekites have invaded their city, have burned it to the ground, and have carried away all their possessions, even their wives and children. We can imagine the dismay and despair with which they viewed this scene of destruction. What an awful moment for David, God's anointed one. Added to his disappointment at such a terrific loss is the hatred of his own people, his own subjects. They all blame him for this horrific tragedy, this turn of events. We can imagine these soldiers with their glaring eyes and sullen faces. With fierce oaths, they called out among themselves, "What right have you to take us away on such an expedition as this? A march in which we gained absolutely nothing and lost everything." So intense was the feeling among the troops that there was talk of stoning David. Such was his distress. He was facing the hatred of his own people. He was facing the disappointment that comes from having failed. He was facing great and overwhelming loss. Truly, he was in the pit of despair, the slough of despond. And it is when David finds himself in this most distressing predicament that, as we are told in the words of our text, he strengthens himself in the Lord his God. This one sentence reveals that David has discovered the secret of true courage. He strengthens himself in the Lord his God, mustering the courage to move forward. In this world in which we are living, with all its baffling and perplexing problems, in this world so often full of disappointment and grief and suffering, in this world which is daily taking its toll, how much we need to know the secret of true courage. We need that which will enable us to stand up under our burdens. We need that which will strengthen us in the wearisome battle of life. We need that which will give us comfort in the midst of heartbreaking grief. We need that which will give us assurance in the time of doubt and uncertainty. We need that which will give us light in the midst of darkness. We need to learn the secret of true courage. And we find that secret in one little, perhaps seemingly insignificant word of our text. And the word is the possessive pronoun, his. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The one reality that enabled David to bear this heavy burden which was placed upon him was the realization that the God of the universe, the God of Israel, was also his personal God. The conviction in his own heart that the hand of the Lord was upon him was the source of his strength, his encouragement, his courage. My friends, in these turbulent times in which we are living as a world, as a nation, and when we as individuals face what has been described as the dark night of the soul, it must be the same with us. We must strengthen ourselves in the Lord. As we look upon our world today and see how unrighteousness and power and greed and violence and unholy hatred seem to be gaining the upper hand on every side, one is certainly tempted to wonder where God is. But my friends, come what may, we must hold on to the conviction that God is our God, your God, my God. If our religion is to be vital, if our faith is to mean anything to us, if we are to experience the staying and comforting and sustaining power of the gospel, we must have this same realization which came into the heart of David. I cannot, you cannot expect to cope with life's problems and challenges, cannot hope to win out when the rug is pulled out from under you, cannot hope to weather life's raging storms until we know, you know, that God is your God and my God. Think again of David, face to face with great failure. The city that had been his home was raided and destroyed. He has failed in his appointed task. And it is as hard for David to bear failure then as it is for us today. What more discouraging and hopeless feeling is there than to feel we have failed? What more piercing blow to our psyche is there than to fail in business? What more discouraging feeling is there than to fail in a relationship? What more hopeless feeling is there than to feel we have failed as parents? But in the midst of this terrible despair, David strengthens himself in the Lord his God. When he brings his failure and defeat into the light of the divine presence, he comes to understand that failure is not fatal. He comes to see instead that even victory might come out of defeat. He comes to see the silver lining in the dark clouds. Indeed, brothers and sisters, how often we have that discouraged, depressed, heartbreaking feeling that comes from the knowledge that we have failed. How often we become depressed and discouraged about things that sometimes we feel like just giving up. There are perhaps some here this morning who are fearfully depressed because of a sense of failure. In spite of earnest efforts, in spite of hard and honest toil, in spite of sacrifice and self-denial, in spite of it all, we have failed. We have not achieved that which we sought out to achieve. Our life hasn't turned out the way we wanted it to. Just when it seemed that success was in our grasp, everything went wrong and our hopes and ambitions came crashing down to earth with a sickening thud. So what do we do about it? How do we behave? How do we respond? Give up and quit trying? Surely that's an option. But let us remember instead David, who strengthens himself in his God. Let us remember that in God there is hope, even for those who fail. God promises that if the cup is marred in the making, he will make it again. How often during his earthly life, Jesus gathered up the fragments of a broken and deserted life and mended them. How miserably the woman of the streets had failed, but Jesus took her up and sent her forth to live a new life. How often and how grossly Peter failed, but each time Jesus took him and straightened out the crooked places and sent him forth again. And Jesus can do that for us today. In fact, God through Jesus wants to do that for us. We must not lose our hold on God because we have failed in some endeavor. We must cling to the Lord tighter and tighter, and the courage and strength and power to begin anew will come to us. Many of us here this morning have known losses of many kinds, lost jobs, lost relationships, lost a loved one. There is sometimes no other way to bear it all than to strengthen oneself in the Lord. Therein lies the secret of true courage. Therein we will find the haven of rest. This message, you realize, is a message for all of us. It is a message that is needed by each of us. These are challenging days through which we are living. We know not what the next hour holds for us or for our loved ones. Almost certainly all of us at some point in the future are going to be compelled to carry heavy burdens. There will be sorrow and loss and suffering. We will face heavy storms. When we do so, let us do what David did. Let us strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. Let us find where to find solace. Whatever sorrow, whatever grief, whatever burden, whatever failure, whatever loss is ours or will be ours, let us strengthen ourselves in the Lord. God is your God. God is my God. Our God wants to help and heal. Our God wants to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, through the storms of life. Let us do as David did. For David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, thereby learning the secret of true courage. May we learn that secret as well. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you that through your Spirit, You comfort, challenge, strengthen us in all the trials and tribulations of life. May we strengthen ourselves. May we come to know you as our personal Lord and Savior, that we might face whatever life throws at us and emerge with hope, strength, and confidence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.